Hello everyone. So I know that many of you are asking me that if you were to find multiple partners that could reasonably accommodate your blackness, reasonably accommodate your autism, reasonably accommodate your abuse survivor thriving, and reasonably accommodate your gender and sexual diversity, how would that make you feel? Well, I would be wholesomely ecstatic. E-C-S-T-A-T-I-C. I would feel that way because to know that there are other people who know how to talk to me, know how to treat me, know how to look at me, know how to behave around me. It's a healthy sense of relief. And so many people go, but Antonio, in terms of multiple partners that can give you these reasonable accommodations based on race, sexuality, past victimhood, and disability, how would you go about partners numerically speaking? I would keep the multiple partnerships to a tinier than tiny amount, because I feel that that is of truthful alignment to how many people that find me attractive can reasonably accommodate my intersectionality of marginalization. That's definitely in synchronicity to real life regarding me, pertaining to me. And then I've learned these hard truths. Most people in the porn industry, in terms of performers, wouldn't know how to be a sensitive lover to a black person. They wouldn't know how to be a sensitive lover to a person with autism. They wouldn't know how to be a sensitive lover to an abuse survivor thriver. They wouldn't know how to be a sensitive lover to a hetero flexible person. In other words, they wouldn't. It's not that they wouldn't be told, because they would be told, but they may not be used to how do I give Antonio sexual reasonable accommodations? How do I give him sensual, sensory reasonable accommodations? How would I give him erotically reasonable accommodations? How would I give him physically reasonable accommodations? And that's how they would feel about me. They would feel as if I they would feel a sense of sexual inadequacy regarding me, sensual inadequacy guarding me, sensory inadequacy regarding me, and physical inadequacy regarding me, because the co-stars that they're used to performing with normally don't have my kind of what society considers disadvantages. I don't consider them that. That's what society does consider. Another thing is this. When it comes to my being a genius and a polymath, the jack of all trades in regarding to basically a person with many gifts, many talents, they wouldn't know how to give me sexual reasonable accommodations as a genius polymath. They wouldn't know how to give me sensual accommodations as a genius polymath. They wouldn't know how to give me sensory reasonable accommodations as a genius polymath. They wouldn't know how to give me erotic reasonable accommodations as a genius polymath. They wouldn't know how to give me physical reasonable accommodations as a genius polymath. So, because I know here are the questions that they would be wrestling with, meaning mostly the mainstream porn industry, the feminist ethical porn industry is more understanding, but even then a lot of them would still struggle with how to be a co-star to Antonio, because I'm not used to the Antonios of the world, sexually speaking, sensually speaking, sensory speaking, erotically speaking, physically speaking. So mainstream porn would have the hardest time with the concept of co-starring with me, even though ethical porn and feminist porn are more equipped because they consider people like me more. But mainstream porn struggle most because that people like me are normally not a part of their policies. People like me are normally not a part of their traditions. People like me are normally not part of their ideas. People like me are normally not a part of their practices. People like me are not a part of their laws. People like me are normally not a part of their companies. I'm talking about all things mainstream porn. They're just not used to people like me. They're used to neurotypical people. They are used to people who are not considered disabled. They're not really used to the concept of healthy sex with some of the porn performers who were raped in the past. Not all the performers were raped. I don't want to buy into the ridiculous stigma that, well, all porn performers were raped. No, a lot of them were not. Some were, but a lot of them were not. And that's no diss on the ones that were, and that's no diss on the ones that were not. But there are some performers who have been violated in the past, sexually speaking, and they never really considered what is healthy on-camera sex like for them. Because some may have been raped on camera, some of them may have been raped on camera. And the rest who were raped more of them were raped off camera than the ones on camera. Because most rapes occur off camera. But there are some who do occur on camera. But not every porn company has that. Not every porn company has rape culture in it. I just want to make that clear. But what I want to say is that I think what mainstream porn would also struggle with is how can I be a sensitive, sensory, friendly lover to a victim of commercial sexual exploitation of children? That's what a lot of the co-stars would be talking to me about. They'd be like, we know what happened to you. What can I say or do that makes you feel at home with me in terms of bodily integrity and bodily autonomy? So they would ask me a lot of those type of questions. They would ask me, Antonio, how do I be a sensitive, sensory lover to you as someone who is victimized by child prostitution? How can I be a sensitive, sensory, friendly lover to you even though you are victimized by child sex trafficking, right? Because they will ask me sensitive, sensory, friendly lover questions. They will ask me, even though you were victimized by child sex tourism, how can I be a sensitive, sensory, friendly lover to you? Even though you were victimized by child pornography, how can I be a sensitive, sensory, friendly lover to you? Even though you were victimized by forced prostitution, how can I be a sensitive, sensory, friendly lover to you? Even though you were victimized by cyber sex trafficking, how can I be a sensitive, sensory, friendly lover to you? So they would ask me sensitive, sensory, friendly lover questions of me, even when it comes to forced marriage that I endured as a child. Child marriage that I endured as a child, crimes against humanity I endured as a child, and they would say, even when it comes to, you're victimized by witnessing the commercial sexual exploitation of adults, how can be a sensitive, sensory friendly lover to you? Because these are normally not the kind of questions that mainstream porn tends to ask, or if they do, they usually, for some unknown reasons, they may not share publicly, which I think they should, because it can give people a sense of, wow, y'all are very compassionate regarding your porn co-stars. So they would be learning how to be a sensitive, sensory-friendly lover to me as a person who is victimized by sexual exploitation. And they would do, and they allow them to do their best to protect me from sexploitation because they know that's what Antonio endured as a child. And they would be wondering, how do we protect Antonio from being re-victimized by ritual slavery, being re-victimized by multiple owner sexual bondage, being re-victimized by single owner sexual bondage, and how do we keep sexual slave from happening to him again, and how can we keep human trafficking from happening to him again? So a lot of the co-stars would be like, Antonio, I need you to take the lead on this because I've never truly dealt with a co-star who has gone through the kind of things you've gone through, So a lot of times with the yes, no, maybe checklist, I'm just imagining, okay, let's say the porn industry was like, we have room for Antonio in our world, but we have to give him reasonable accommodations, not just when it comes to sex, but when it comes to finances. Like, wow, I didn't know that people who were in the kinds of oppressions that you're placed in by society, I didn't know they could be so economically abusive. I didn't know that the discriminatory abuses are that awful. So they would say, how can we, they would ask, I think they would definitely ask me, Antonio, how can we fully include you, how can we give you a sense of belonging in our traditions? How can we give you a sense of belonging in our policies? How can we give you a sense of belonging in our ideas? How can we give you a sense of belonging in our practices? How can we give you a sense of belonging in our laws? How can we give you a sense of belonging in our companies, right? We're talking about mainstream porn, and the ethical feminist porn companies will be asking me the same questions. It's just mainstream porn would ask me these questions the most. And they would say, Antonio, how can we give you equal justice in our traditions? You know, how can we give you equal justice in our policies? How could we give you equal justice in our ideas? How could we give you equal justice in our practices? How could we give you equal justice in our laws? How can we give you equal justice in our companies? And the last question I asked, well, one of the last questions they asked me is this. How can we protect you in our traditions? How can we protect you in our policies? How can we protect you in our ideas? How can we protect you in our practices? How can we protect you in our laws? How can we protect you in our companies? So a lot of the porn companies will ask me these questions because this is all new to them. They feel like we may have to be renewed and refreshed because they're used to dealing with people that normally society, I mean, they're used to Black people, they're used to white people, they're used to Native American people, they're used to Indigenous people, they're used to people from all the continents and all the islands of our world. They're used to it, but they may not be used to a person, an abuse survivor who has gone public about the past abuse that they were forced to endure, voluntarily speaking, that may be new to them. They may know, okay, there was some abuse with some of the people that are contracted under us, meaning they work for the companies, but a person who's gone through like everything, including, I mean, organized crime, how do we be a sensitive, sensory-friendly lover to a person who endured organized crime as a child? That would be tough for them to wrap their minds around. Like, he survived. Then they'll ask me these other questions. Because I think a lot of people in porn would be willing to, like, learn. They would feel like, wow, I can be a better porn performer because I'm getting the training I need from Antonio on how this works. It makes me better understand our consumers. It makes me better understand that there are plenty of people who have gone through some sexually heinousness. Like, whoo. Because a lot of people in that world may not know, right? So then I think they will also ask me these other questions. And I don't mind these questions being asked because I think society should be asking these questions. Not just people in porn, but people in every industry. And yeah, this is something that does need to be explored. So they will also be wondering, Antonio, show us how to be a sensitive, sensory-friendly lover to you. even though you've endured trafficking of children and child harvesting. Show us how to be a sensitive lover to you, even though you have endured labor trafficking, bonded labor, involuntary servitude, domestic servitude, child labor. They would be asking me, how to be a sensitive, sensory friendly lover to you, though I've endured debt, bondage, bonded labor. Then they would ask me, so how do I be a sensitive, sensory friendly lover to you, even though you have endured gang control trafficking, pimp control trafficking, adult grooming, child grooming, familial trafficking, and witnessing branding? They would ask me these kinds of questions. Like, how can we be a sensitive, sensory-friendly lover to you, even though you've witnessed organ theft and organ trade and fraud factories? I think these are legitimate questions. And I'll show them how, because I know all the answers. And I wouldn't be offended at all. So I think there are some people in porn who are willing to learn. There are some people in the erotica world who are willing to learn, because they'll be asking me these same questions too. And I think a lot of them will feel like, wow, I can learn that you can have healthy off-camera sex after rape, and you can have healthy on-camera sex after rape. And it'll be encouraging to a lot of people, like, wow, I may have been raped on camera, but I can have healthy sex on camera after on-camera rape happened. And I can have healthy off-camera sex after the off-camera rape happened. I still have off-camera sex. Wow. So, I've thought about these type of things, and I said, well, there are plenty of people in that world, performers, even executives, who are willing to understand, because most people in mainstream porn are sweet people, sweet meaning kind. Most people in ethical porn and feminist porn are kind-hearted people. So most of them in each of those kind of industries of porn would be willing to reasonably accommodate me. And at the same time, I keep it small because, well, porn is different. In real life, I keep it very small because most people are totally numb to a person like me. They are numb to, they experience internal numbness and external numbness to my blackness, my autism, my abuse survivor thriving, and my heteroflexibility. So I keep it small in real life. Porn, it's more intricate, because in that world, erotic boundaries are often discussed pretty much every time their doors are open, and pretty much every time they shoot. Sexual boundaries are always discussed. I can't imagine a co-star not talking about it. It would be weird if they never did. I'm like, they always do. Physical boundaries, always discuss. I'm like, sexual boundaries, erotic boundaries are part of physical boundaries. I mean, sensual boundaries, well, you deal with senses during sex, so all these boundaries are discussed all the time. In real life, not as much on porn all the time. Literally all the time that there are hours of operations. So I would have to, because some co-stars are willing to learn. Then there's some co-stars who are just like, this is too much. I'm going to just stick with the co-stars where I don't have to put all this work in. So I would have to, let's say, I'm just speaking hypothetically. What if I was in that world? How would it go for me? I would say in that kind of world, for me, I would have to pick the ones that are consistently trying to learn and grow in terms of being a sensitive, sensory-friendly co-star to me. The ones that aren't, that are inconsistent with it, I can't do anything with them. I'm talking about if I were to hypothetically work with feminist porn, other porn, mainstream porn. I'm just speaking of hypotheticals. Now, under my own, let's say I had my own entity, abusive, you know, my sensitive, sensory-friendly adult entertainment, that's a totally different story. Because every person, adult, in that world that would be part of the entity of mine, they all would know how to do all these things because they would have all these kinds of trainings. It would be a part of the diversity training, sensitivity training. But in a lot of mainstream porn, there's usually no sensitivity training for how to be sexually kind, erotically kind, physically kind, and sensually kind, and sensory kind to the Antonas of the world. They don't have that sensitivity training nor that diversity training. But in ethical and feminist porn, they definitely have similar trainings in that regard. Maybe not as extensive as a person like me, but it's there to some degree. So I'm just speaking because I'm answering these are the kind of questions people ask me. They would say, let's say the porn industry got better and they wanted to welcome you aboard. I'm answering these questions that are in many people's minds. And that's why I speak hypothetically. I'm not guaranteeing all these things that are going to 100% happen because I don't know the future. I'm just giving my healthy ideas of, okay, if these things were to go in the favorable direction, how do you think it might possibly potentially go? When I think about these other questions people would ask me, they ask me, Antonio, do you think that ethical non-monogamy could happen for you off camera? I would say hopefully, but I would have to keep the numbers tiny because in real life, most people don't consider how to deal with my extraordinary sensuality, my extraordinary eroticism, my extraordinary physicality, and my extraordinary sexual beingness. B-E-I-N-G-N-E-S-S. Again, B-E-I-N-G-N-E-S-S. So I have to keep it small because of that. Off camera. On camera, the numbers would be slightly higher, but again, every performer I can't sleep with, because not all performers would be sensitized to me. It's similar to when you work a job. There's some coworkers that you would be just fine, and there's other coworkers where it's best if you maintain your distance, respectfully speaking. I feel like here's the other question that people have for me. They would ask me, Antonio, let's say you were able to find ethical adult sex tourism and ethical adult sex work environments and ethical group sex environments, ethical two people sex environments, and ethical red light districts type of environments. And these are all legal and all reasonable. I would say I would have to keep those numbers small, because this is off camera. Anything off camera, I would have to keep it small. Because people don't, off camera, lack the same sensibilities that people have on camera. That's why the porn world is unique in that way. Because they understand, well, this is exposed to everybody possibly, so we really have to, when it comes to sex, eroticism, physicality, and sensuality, we have to mind our P's and Q's, because people don't think those ways outside of the footage world. So if I were to find them, I would be like, okay, I gotta keep it tiny, off camera, slightly higher, but still a lot of them I would go, no, because they wouldn't have, not every coworker in porn would have the same sensibilities toward me. It's similar to the world of work. Some coworkers don't have any sensibilities regarding you, right? That's why you have to, if you can help it, avoid projects with them. And porn is similar that way. I'm all speaking hypothetically, because I try my best to answer people's questions, because a lot of what I say produces questions in people's minds, because what I'm saying is normally not said out loud like I do with the podcast. And so now that I've answered those questions, I can also say to people, Antonio, what if somebody went on dating apps, hookup apps, dating sites, hookup sites for you? Not because you can't get free sex, off the apps and sites. Not that you can't get free dates on and, off the apps and sites. Free dates meaning you didn't have to pay somebody to date you, right? Like, okay, would you accept that? Well, if they had a way of doing it that didn't jeopardize me at all, and it's obvious, crystal clearly, through evidence, also known as proof, that I would be fully protected, I would be fine with it. I would just say that they would have to make sure that I'm not dealing with any persons that are poorly balanced, poorly rounded, poorly unified, and poorly adjusted people. That would be the only way I would be open to it, is if somebody has a profile of their own and they're like, well, I figured out a way to help you to have dates and hookups without your image and likeness being stained or tainted. Because some people do that. They're like, oh, this is what Antonio may look like, or, you know, but I'm a monitor to make sure things are fine. If somebody came up with the idea, was able to constantly pull it off well, okay, I don't see why not. And just make sure everybody's an adult. Like, yeah, you gotta background check these people. Other than, you know, that'd be the only way I would be open to apps and sites for hookups and dates. Some people would say, Antonio, what causes you to avoid social media? I feel like there's more reasons than we're being told. And I'm like, you're absolutely right. Because they're like, but, you know, if you use social media, that's more, you know, sex partners, dating partners for you. And I would tell them the reason why I am not into social media, because within social media, a lot of people reject wisdom. Many reject sagacity. Many reject sageness. Many reject intelligence. Many reject understanding. Many reject insight. Many reject perception. Many reject perceptiveness. Many reject percipience. Many reject penetration, in this case, meaning the perceptive understanding of complex matters. Many reject perspicuity. Many reject acuity. Many reject discernment. Many reject sense. Many reject good sense. Many reject common sense. Many reject shrewdness. Many reject astuteness. Many reject acumen. Many reject smartness. Many reject judiciousness. Many reject judgment. Many reject foresight. Many reject clear-sightedness. Many reject prudence. Many reject circumspection. Many reject logic. Many reject rationale. Many reject rationality. Many reject soundness. Many reject reason. Many reject saneness. Many reject truth. Many reject evidence. Many reject facts. Many reject advisability. Many reject clear-mindedness. Many reject clearness. Many reject sharpness. Many reject savvy. Many reject smarts. Many reject sapiens. Many reject arguteness. Many condone stupidity. Many condone folly. Many reject knowledge. Many reject learning. Many reject relearning. Many reject unlearning. Many reject thinking. Many reject unthinking. Many reject rethinking. Many reject erudition. Many reject scholarship. Many reject science. Many reject history. Many reject mathematics. Many reject philosophy. And many reject healthy lore, L-O-R-E. Many reject the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment, the quality of being wise. Many reject the soundness of an action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Many reject the body of knowledge and principles that develops within a specified society or period. My other reasons for avoiding social media. They hate people that are different than them, that are good people. They loathe people that are different than them, that are good people. They detest people that are different than them, that are good people. They dislike greatly people that are different than them, that are good people. They abhor people different than them, that are good people. They abominate people that are different than them, that are good people. They despise people that are different than them, that are good people. They execrate those different than them in words, thoughts, actions, and deeds. They feel an aversion toward people different than them in words, thoughts, actions, and deeds. They feel a revulsion towards people different than them in words, thoughts, feelings, and deeds. They feel hostile towards people different than them in words, thoughts, feelings, and deeds. They feel they are repelled by those different than them in words, thoughts, feelings, and deeds. They feel revolted by people different than them in words, thoughts, feelings, and deeds. They will use the keyboard to type the ones that they have a regard with disgust by that disagree with them respectfully. They feel like, I'm not able to bear nor stand you because you're disagreeing with me, even though I know it's respectful. So I'm going to type that up. So they feel like they're unable to stomach, find intolerable, shudder at, recoil from, shrink from, hate the guts, and disrelish those that respectfully disagree with them. But they will type such hate speech and voicemail their hate speech towards these kinds of people. That's what they love to do. That's what they like to do. And they have an intense or passionate dislike for anyone that doesn't agree with them on everything, whether you're the same as me or different as me. And so they have hearts of loathing, hatred, detestation, dislike, distaste, abhorrence, abomination, execration, resentment, aversion, hostility, ill will, ill feeling, bad feeling, enmity, animosity, antagonism, antipathy, bitterness, animus, revulsion, disgust, contempt, repugnance, odium, rancor, and disrelish in words, thoughts, voicemails, typed messages, feelings, and deeds and actions towards anyone that respectfully disagrees with them, that are good people, and that are different than them. So my last set of reasons for avoiding social media is social media tends to exploit anxiety disorders. I saw the exploitation of generalized anxiety disorder. I saw the exploitation of obsessive compulsive disorder. I saw the exploitation of panic disorder. I saw the exploitation of social anxiety disorder. I saw the exploitation of specific phobias. I saw the exploitation of eating disorders. I saw the exploitation of anorexia nervosa. I saw the exploitation of bulimia nervosa. I saw the exploitation of binge eating disorder. I saw the exploitation of avoidant restrictive food intake disorder. I saw the exploitation of PICA, P-I-C-A. I saw the exploitation of rumination disorder. I saw the exploitation of other specified feeding and eating disorders. I saw the exploitation of mood disorders. I saw the exploitation of major depressive disorder. I saw the exploitation of persistent depressive disorder. I saw the exploitation of bipolar disorder. I saw the exploitation of substance-induced mood disorder. I saw the exploitation of personality disorders. I saw the exploitation of cluster A odd or eccentric behaviors. I saw the exploitation of schizoid personality disorder. I saw the exploitation of paranoid personality disorders. I saw the exploitation of schizotypal personality disorder. I saw the exploitation of cluster B dramatic emotional or erratic behavior. I saw the exploitation of antisocial personality disorder. I saw the exploitation of borderline personality disorder. I saw the exploitation of narcissistic personality disorder. I saw the exploitation of cluster C anxious or fearful behavior. I saw the exploitation of avoidant personality disorder. I saw the exploitation of dependent personality disorder. I saw the exploitation of obsessive compulsive personality disorder. I saw the exploitation of trauma and stressor-related disorders. I saw the exploitation of post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. I saw the exploitation of complex PTSD. I saw the exploitation of delayed expression PTSD. I saw the exploitation of dissociative PTSD. I saw the exploitation of psychotic disorders. I saw the exploitation of schizophrenia. I saw the exploitation of schizoaffective disorder. I saw the exploitation of schizophreniform disorder. I saw the exploitation of delusional disorder. I saw the exploitation of brief psychotic disorder. I saw the exploitation of substance-induced psychotic disorder. I saw the exploitation of psychotic disorder due to a medical condition. I saw the exploitation of mental breakdowns. I saw the exploitation of mental disabilities. I saw the exploitation of mental diseases. I saw the exploitation of mental health conditions. I saw the exploitation of mental illnesses. I saw the exploitation of nervous breakdowns. I saw the exploitation of psychiatric disabilities. I saw the exploitation of psychiatric disorders. I saw the exploitation of psychological disability. I saw the exploitation of psychological disorders. I saw the exploitation of agitation. I saw the exploitation of anxiety. I saw the exploitation of depression. I saw the exploitation of mania. I saw the exploitation of paranoia. I saw the exploitation of psychosis. I saw the exploitation of suicide. I saw the exploitation of suicidal ideation. I saw the exploitation of social problems. I saw the exploitation of cognitive impairment. I saw the exploitation of substance use disorders. I saw the exploitation of alcohol use disorders. I saw the exploitation of nicotine addiction. I saw the exploitation of sexual compulsive and sexual impulsive behaviors. I saw the exploitation of psychiatric medication. I saw the exploitation of psychiatric treatment. I saw the exploitation of social problems. I saw the exploitation of cognitive impairment. Those are all the other rest of the reasons why I don't have a social media account. And now you fully understand why I choose not to get all the lovers and all the dating partners and sex partners I could get from social media. Now, you're probably wondering okay, Antonio, we understand all that. What if somebody used social media for you? And there were some people that were romantically interested and sexually interested in you. Could there be a safe way for you to use social media without any exploitation happening as a result? I'm like, well, if they're properly screened and they are safe, sane people, I would talk to those people to see where do we go from there. Because there'll be some people be like, well, I really like Antonio and I know how to be of emotional safety, psychological safety, physical safety, sexual safety, sensual safety, and erotic safety to him. That means I could also give him erotic sanity, sexual sanity, physical sanity, emotional sanity, and sensual sanity to him, sexual sanity and romantic sanity to him. Like, I can be of safety and sanity in all these areas of his life, especially intellectually and psychologically. So they would, like, if it happens safely, I don't see why not. If it happens sanely, again, I don't see why not. You know, more hypotheticals for you, as you already know. You know, for me, I feel, you know, that I feel like for me, overall, that I can definitely make sure to let y'all know. That I have truly thought these things through. And it's not me being contradictory at all, because in each episode, I would say that I'm constantly learning, growing, and evolving when it comes to sex, eroticism, romance, sensuality, socially and interpersonally. And I think it's very healthy for me to have that space to do that, because of acknowledging that I am sexually multifaceted. I'm erotically multifaceted. I'm romantically multifaceted. I'm socially multifaceted. I'm interpersonally multifaceted. I'm romantically multifaceted. I'm sensually multifaceted. So, you know, I don't put myself in a sexual box. I don't put myself in an erotic box, because I'm erotically multifaceted. I don't put myself in a sexual box. I don't put myself in an erotic box. I don't put myself in a sensual box. I don't put myself in a romantic box. I don't put myself in a social box. I don't put myself in an interpersonal box. B-O-X. So that's what has helped me to recognize these things. And many people ask me, okay, Antonio, let's say they said they would say you're in BAMRI, right? So let's say he found that there are some swingers, some polyamory people, polygamy, polygyny, polyandry, people, you know, ethical cuckolding people, ethical cuckqueening people, open relationships people, and monogamish people, and just all forms of polyamory. They would ask me, how would you feel if all these people have shown you they have what it takes to be, you know, black friendly, autism friendly, heteroflexible friendly, and abuse survivor thriver friendly? I would be pleasantly amazed. I would still keep them to small amounts. For this last reason, it would also make more sense to me to do that because most people are unwilling to pay the full price for wisdom. That's why. Most people are unwilling to pay the full price for moral excellence. Most people are unwilling to pay the full price for empathy. That's why I say small. I'm willing to pay the full price for wisdom. I'm willing to pay the full price for empathy. I'm willing to pay the full price for moral excellence, which makes me a rare breed in these unique contextualization. And some people ask me, Antonio, what if you were able to find a lot of people who can fully handle correctly your blackness, your autism, your heteroflexibility, your geniusness, your being a polymath, and your be survivor thriving? And let's say this was promiscuity, I'd be like, well, it wouldn't be the typical promiscuity that people think. It would be moderate and kept small for this last, you know, kept kind of small for this last reason. That come with a new reason. Most people are monkey see, monkey do. Very few people are their own originals in terms of just truly being all things who they who they truly are. I'm not trying to be ethically non-monogamous. I'm not even trying to be ethically monogamous. In terms of, I'm gonna purposely have one person, purposely have more than one. I'm like, I just go where the quality is. I go where the high quality hearts, high quality minds, high quality souls are. I let life decide the number for me. I don't try to decide the number for myself. But I do feel that I don't have any trauma complexes controlling my biology, and I don't date or sleep with anyone that allows trauma complexes to control their biologies. I don't allow any trauma complexes to control me, and I don't sleep or date with anyone that allows trauma complexes to control them. I'm not into self-destructive behavior, so I don't date or sleep with people who do self-destructive behavior. And that is where I stand on these questions and answers.